All right, let's bring up Dean Thompson. He'll be our last storyteller tonight. Dean is from Inglewood. He's a naturalist. He currently lives in San Luis Obispo, and people have asked him if he plays basketball his whole life, too.
But I'm only 5'18", so. So my great aunt Esther kind of scared me when I was a kid. And it was, she was a nice enough person and all, but and a little gruff at times. But the thing was is that she had the unfortunate luck to be cursed with arthritis in her knees. And so her knees were very large, and she had poor circulation. And when I was a little kid, she spent the night at our house occasionally. And one morning I saw her early in the morning without her support hose on. And it was. I didn't know what was going on. It was quite terrifying. But as I said, she was a nice person. I got to know her quite well. She would come over quite a bit. My cats loved her because they knew that when she would show up, there was a lap to sit on, and it wasn't going to move for quite some time. She could knock out a New York Times crossword puzzle like that. She would kick our ass in Scrabble. She was a wonderful person. And when she got old enough to where she couldn't drive, she gave me her car, which was a 63 Rambler Classic sedan with had a straight six in it and a steel dashboard and like fold-down front seats. Only had 30,000 miles on it when she gave it to me. So it was kind of cool. And then, unfortunately, when she died, I was just graduating from college, and she gave me some money. So I had money, I had graduated from college, I had a car, I didn't have a girlfriend, and I was pretty much so free to do whatever I wanted. And so I decided that I would travel. And I really wanted to go to the Southern Hemisphere. And in particular, I wanted to go to Australia and New Zealand and check out that area. And I really wanted to see tropical areas. And so this was before online where you could find airfare, so I had to go to a travel agent, and we talked, and we worked out a package deal where I could go to Australia and New Zealand and have a little bit of time in Fiji on the way home, and all told, I'll be gone for about 2.5 to 3 months. And so I left, and my plan was to go to Australia and spend my entire time in Queensland, which is the northeastern part of Australia, and I really wanted to get up to the Cape where the tropics were. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the tropics. I wanted to see saltwater crocodiles. I wanted to see some really cool birds, and my idea was I would land in Brisbane and then travel up the coast, stop at a couple islands along the way, snorkel on the Great Barrier Reef, and then head up to the Cape and then maybe take a train down, just beeline back down to Brisbane to leave. So I landed in Brisbane. I have my backpack on, a tent, a little bit of food, a hacky sack, and some Grateful Dead tapes. And that's basically what I had, and I was out traveling. And I left the airport, and I stuck my thumb out, and one of the first rides I got was from this guy named Leroy. And Leroy was this really big, hairy guy with beard, long hair, and he was driving this overloaded Range Rover, just full of stuff. And he pulled over, picked me up, and I threw my gear in the back, had enough room for my backpack, and off we drove. And as we're driving along, he goes, so where are you going? I said, I was going to go to Fraser Island. I hear it's the largest sand island in the world. Sounds like a pretty cool place. I said, you ever been there? He's like, nope. I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the Cape. I said, wow, he's going to the Cape. You know, that was my eventual goal, was to get to the Cape. And now I got this guy, he's going to the Cape. I'm, you know, thinking to myself, well, you know, it wasn't in my plan. I wasn't really ready for this. And so we're talking, and he goes, Hey, reach down there. Get that canister right there. So I pulled out this little tin canister that he had, and I opened it up, and I'm immediately hit with this pungent, strong aroma of good, skunky pot of weed, right? And it's just filling the car, and we're driving through the streets of Brisbane, and he's like, roll me a doobie. And I was like, I don't know how to roll doobies. He's like, don't worry about it. Here, grab a hold of the wheel. And so I grab a hold of the wheel, the steering wheel, and he proceeds to roll this monstrous joint. He uses two rolling papers to roll this joint, and he's rolling this thing up. And here I am. I hadn't even been in the country for an hour, and I'm in the car with Australia's version of Tommy Chong. And we're driving through the streets of Brisbane. He rolls the thing, and he sparks it up. He's like, I got a driving partner. That's great. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't think so, okay? And so I talked with him for a while, and I just didn't, I mean, it wasn't like I was unfamiliar. I had gone to college. I wasn't unfamiliar with weed or pot or anything, but it was just got this weird vibe with this. And he said he was a gold miner, but when I looked at the supplies in the back of his car, he was mining something else besides gold up there in the Cape. And so I had him drop me off at Fraser Island, and I visited Fraser Island, and I didn't go up. And actually, I never did make it to the Cape. And that was my opportunity. I had this ride. It would have been a two-day drive up there. You know, that's a long hitch to be able to get all the way up to the Cape. And I never made it to the Cape. I had a great time. I was able to snorkel along the Great Barrier Reef. And I got up to Mossman Gorge where they had saltwater crocodiles. And I had a great time in the Atherton Tablelands. And it was up there in a little outside a little town called Corunda that I realized that this package deal I had wasn't such a great deal. Because I was walking along these back roads, these dirt roads there, and I happened upon this one driveway that said, "Bird Watchers Welcome." I thought, that's me, man, I'm a bird watcher. So I walked through the driveway, and there's this beautiful house with large estate and with the little benches and bird feeders and a little creek running through it. And this guy comes out. He's like, "Oh, yeah, just look around. We'll catch up with you later." And so I was looking at the birds and cruising around for about a half hour on his property. And then he came up and talked to me, and he invited me into his house. And we sat up on his veranda, and we had lunch and tea. And he had these bowls of syrup and honey out where we had these honey eaters would come in, these birds. And we got great looks at these honey eaters. And it turns out he was a birder, and he drove coaches for a living. He drove buses for a living for birding tours. And he said he would keep himself awake at night by squashing cane toads as he would drive, you know, because cane toads are these exotic toads that are just wreak havoc in Australia. And so as we're talking, he goes, "You're really into this." He goes, "You know what? I'm doing a birding tour in the outback. It's a 10-day tour, and we're leaving in about 4 days. You want to go with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to go. You know, that'd be great." I go, "But I'm supposed to leave Australia in like 5 days. I go, "Let me see if I can, I'll go down to the city, see if I can change my ticket." So I go down to Cairns, and I talk to the travel agent, and she said, "Yep, you can change your ticket. It'll only cost you $400 that I didn't have. And so I realized at that point I was locked into this package deal that I had to depart at this particular time unless I wanted to pay this money. And it was kind of a drag because throughout my trip, different times, these lucky things would happen and I was unable to take advantage of it because I was locked into this itinerary. And so I decided at that point that when I went to New Zealand, I was sure I had these arrival and departure times, but in between those times, I could do whatever I wanted. And so when I got to New Zealand, I landed in Auckland, spent a couple of days there, and then I left the city, stuck my thumb out, and the first ride I got was from this woman who had this little sedan. It was like a hatchback sedan that had a sheep in the back. The car reeked. It smelled so bad. But it was actually a smell of sheep in New Zealand that you actually kind of get used to after a while being in New Zealand. And as I was driving, she goes, "So where are you going?" I said, "I'm going south." And so she took me south, drove me for about an hour, dropped me off. I stuck my thumb out, got another ride. Guy drove me for about another, you know, about a half hour, dropped me off, stuck my thumb out. Another guy pulled over. He goes, "I'm only going about 10 minutes down the road." I said, "That's fine. I'll go." Hopped in the car, drove a little bit further, kept getting these rides. I got this one guy, gave me a 2-hour ride, and he dropped me off in the middle of nowhere. He goes, "I'm sorry to drop you off here, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You'll be lucky to get a ride." I said, "That's okay. I got my backpack, got my tent. I'm good." And so I stood there for about 20 minutes, and I see this VW bus coming. And it sees me and veers over and picks me up. And I get in the bus, and right when I get in the bus, I notice that something's different. Something's odd about this VW bus. And then I realize what it is that it's a left-hand drive vehicle. It's like one of ours that you would find in the United States, except in New Zealand, they drive on the other side of the road. So he's basically driving where the passengers should sit. And I'm riding where the driver should sit. So I'm sitting on the center line, and he's driving over on the side. And we're on the other side of the road. And the guy driving, his name was Ivan. And he was a Dutch. He was Dutch. And it was really windy, and the bus was blowing all over the place. And he had this habit of prefacing any comment to me by smacking me in the shoulder. And so we'd be driving, he'd go, "Hey, you like this song on the radio?" "Yeah, I do." "Okay. Hey, you hungry?" Yeah, I'm kind of hungry. "Hey, can I pass?" And see, that's the thing. He was on the wrong side of the car, so when he was very impatient. He always wanted to pass these cars. And so he would like, either if he was by himself, he said he would drift way back and then go into off to the center line so he could see far enough to see if there was room to pass and then go back in there. But since he had me, he didn't have to do that. So he'd go, okay, I'm going to pass. And so he would drift over the center line, and then I would sit there holding the chicken handle, and I would look and I go, no, we can't pass. And so he'd go back over, and then, or then he'd drift over, he'd go, can I pass? And I'm trying to gauge how far is, like, how gutless is this van? Can we pass? I'm like, no, we can't pass. We go back, and then we wait along in the car. We go, we could have made that. Okay. And so it was a hair-raising ride, and he actually drove me, though, for 6 hours. Okay. And this was a long hitch. And that entire day was one day of hitchhiking, and it was a 12 hours of hitching. And I was able to hitch the entire length of the North Island. And Ivan actually bought me lunch. He bought me dinner down in Wellington and drove me right to the front door of the youth hostel where I stayed. And it was an amazing trip. And all because, and that one day of hitching was the best day of hitching because I didn't have a plan. I just went with what happened. And it's great. And when I meet young people that are traveling, and they're traveling in particular by themselves, I tell them, don't get a round trip ticket, okay? Leave room. Just you know, let it happen. I think Terry Pratchett said it best in one of his books when he said, "Luck comes to those who leave a space for it." And that's something I think we all got to remember when we're out traveling, especially those young people. Thank you.